Good morning.
No.
Hi, Eleanor. I really wasn't late. I was just slow. That's what it is. Good morning. It is indeed the day that the Lord has made, and I am grateful to be here with you today. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Ingrid, or you can call me Pastor Ing, and in faith and love, gathered in this place, we hope to celebrate God's presence in our hearts and in our lives. We remind one another that God loves all of us. God loves the world with a love that won't let us go. And here in this space, we welcome all, young and old, rich and poor, the strong, the weak, the loud, the quiet, all God's beautiful, fragile, unshakably good children are welcome here. And we are grateful for you. This morning, we just remind you that we have a church picnic gathering coming up. That is the last Sunday of this month, and that is right after church. If you would like, is that the last Sunday?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not the last Sunday, but it's Sunday, August 24th. The deacons will have chicken and beverages and watermelon and cupcakes. And we have one deacon among us today. That's Miss Peg. And you can see her if you have any questions. If you want to, she's looking for some helping hands. And you can reach out to Janet, Peg. She's with us today again. Or Suzanne to volunteer. And we also have dancing every Thursday morning from 8:15 to 9:15. Right here in our fellowship hall. Come join us for that. Next Sunday, August 10th, we're going to have a blessing of the beautiful brains for anybody who's headed back to school this fall. That's at 6:30. If you have any questions about that, you can come and see me. But now let's take a deep breath in, center ourselves as we come together to worship God, to feel God's love and be reminded of God's love for us and for the world. Let us join together in our call to worship. Hallelujah. Give thanks. Give thanks to God.
Lord, hear us and sustain us through the time of trouble.
Give thanks to the Holy One, for God is good.
For the passion and wonder of our lives, and sustain us through the time of trouble.
Give thanks to the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer.
Hallelujah. Give thanks to God.
And let us rise in body or spirit and sing our opening hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, too often we seem determined to turn away from you. You, however, continually call us to repentance, to turn back to you and your way. We pray for fortitude to remain on the path set by Jesus and to embody the ministry of Christ in the world. Deliver us from the insignificant concerns that distract us and empower us to do the work you have called us to do. Most of all, grant us the grace to be the people you have made us to be. Beloved, you have received an inheritance of riches in God. These treasures of hope, strength, encouragement, peace, grace, joy, rest, and love are yours to claim. They are yours to live. Receive them freely and abundantly. We are forgiven. Amen. Let us stand together and say what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us greet one another with some sign of God's peace. Peace be with you, dear ones. Peace be with you. Much love. Please be seated. And please make note of the members at home listed in the back of your bulletin. We hold them in our hearts and in our prayers. Also for our sisters and brothers near and far, the concerns in our hearts. Are there any other concerns that you would like to lift up today? Let us come before our God together, first in silence, and then I will lead us. O God of the summer's day, of the still lingering sunset and the early dawn, we seem to be in a time in between. Indeed, in our heads and in our hearts, we see the Halloween candy, we see the shelves already emptied of school supplies. We're already on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. Summer seems to be over. And yet it is not. Indeed, help us, God, to be present here right now, for all we have is here and now, and all we need is here and now. This moment, this breath, this is the gift. In this time, in this sacred space, you hold us. May we, in this time, in this space, know that we can cast indeed our cares and our worries, that we can set aside any shame, any regret that we might be holding on to. We can just lay that aside, put that away, for indeed, when you look upon us, you look upon us with nothing but delight. You want nothing for us but healing and wholeness. That is what you want for each of your children, and so it saddens you when you see us in this, at times, mess. A world where might still seems to make right, a world where we still count the cost in terms of currency is money, and where we still take up arms, and where we still use violent means and violent words to hurt and wound one another. Help us, O God, help us, O God, to heed your will for us. Help us, O God. Help us to do all things in love, to move in love, to look toward your creation and the way indeed that all of the non-human world seems to get it better than we do. We give you thanks for the hot north wind, the refreshing shower. You are the God of the shade tree, the cool water, the ripening harvest, the sparkling sea. For all things bright and beautiful, help us to learn from your dark and mysterious and lovely creation, for the green and the growing and the strong. We thank you for the weak and the struggling to push up life through the rocky earth. May we see you in all human faces, in all hearts and minds and hands that surround us. In the paws and the claws and the fins and the wings. May we never lose that wonder this summer's day. God, in this time, in this season, even as we try to stay present, we know that our minds and hearts have many things upon them, and we pray for those who are anxious about many things, for the changes that are coming, many going back to school, many heading to school for the first time, and we pray that each might know that wherever we travel, wherever our loved ones go with them. You go ahead, you go with, and you go behind. And when we leave this place in just a bit of time, may we know that the sanctuary that we find in here is also your sanctuary out there. That there really is no sacred and profane, because you are the author and creator of all. Use us, O God, use us as your hands and feet in this world. All this we ask in the name of the one, the name by which we know you best, Jesus, who taught us and his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And let us rise in body or spirit and sing number 716, God whose giving knows no ending. Seated. And would our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering?
return to you a portion of the gifts you've given, may they be used for the good of all your church and your creation. Please be seated. And somebody once, I don't know who it was, I'm sorry, Ms. Clara, hang on just one second, because somebody once said, and may something happen today that isn't in the bulletin. And so something's going to happen that isn't in the bulletin. There's going to be a children's story, because there's one child here today, which is awesome, and I did already ask her, do you care if I have a children's story, if you're the only kid? She said, no, that's cool. And so that's cool. So I do have a children's story, because I think that sometimes children's stories are interesting for everybody, because we are all children of God, right? Right? So, this child is actually my friend. We've been friends a long time. We went to high school together. So, Antonina, you want to come over here? I have a special child, see, for you right here. Come on over here. All right. This is my friend Antonina, everybody. This is pretty cool. This is everybody. All right, so Antonina, I have some pictures. Maybe you've seen these before. Have you ever seen these before? I'll tell you what they are. So there's a box, and it has a picture of Tony the Tiger on it, and it has a picture of Toucan Sam on it, and then there's another box, and it has a picture of three guys, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Has anybody ever seen those before? Yes. Snap, and they're cereal. All right, you're going to be a kid today. Oh, it's cool. All right, this is Peg, and this is Anthony. She's a friend of mine, too. She dances with me. All right, so these are cereals, and they're not very good for your cereals. They're not very healthy cereals, right? All right. But these are famous cereals, and they're by a company named Kellogg's, okay? And they made the Kellogg's family a lot of money. They're very famous cereals, right? So they were made by this guy right here. His name is William Kellogg, okay? Now, he has a brother, and his name was James, I think. Now, James and William were brothers. And James was the older brother, and that was his little brother, William. And James and William did not get along at all. James was actually pretty mean to his little brother. Pretty mean. And he really made fun of him a lot. And he would tease him for being not as good looking as he thought he was. And James was a doctor. And so he didn't think that William was as smart as he was. He didn't think he was as cool as he was. James hired William to work for him. And he was always ordering him around at work and all that stuff. And James was pretty famous. One day, William discovered how to make cereal. Tastes really good. And so William came up with not these exact cereals, but how to make cereal. And so William got very, very rich, right? Right? And then James said, well, these cereals, they were really my idea. And William said, no, they were really my idea. And James said, so they took it to court because it was all about money, right? And William won, and he got all the money. And these brothers never spoke again. It ruined their whole relationship. They never made up. These guys lost what could have been their very best friend in the whole wide world. This guy, he was still super rich. This guy, he was super rich. But they lost the love of each other because they fought over money. And today, in the story that Ms. Claire is going to read from the Bible, Ms. Peg's going to read from the Bible. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the read. Oh, sorry, dude. Okay. But Ms. Peg is going to read from the Bible is about a guy who's fighting with his brother over, guess what? Money. And Jesus tells him a story about how it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Love is the main thing.
And this tiger guy here on this cereal, he always says Frosted Flakes, they're great. And they are, they do taste pretty good. Not good, but they do taste pretty good. They are great. But, love is the greatest. Mm-hmm. And we can thank God for teaching us that. Can you pray with me? This is how we always do it in Mount Media. So Antonina knows this. You can repeat after me if you want. Dear God, thank you for loving us. And reminding us that love is the greatest.
And reminding us that love is the greatest.
Amen. Thank you. Okay.
But isn't that a neat story about the Kellogg brothers? Who knew? Who knew? Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
This reading is from the Gospel of Luke at chapter 12. Starting with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, meaning Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night, your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." A reading of the word.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, a young man opened the door to his Mercedes, and suddenly a car was going by and sideswiped him and hit the door, and it ripped it off completely. And when the police arrived on the scene, the man was complaining just bitterly about the damage to his precious Mercedes. "Officer, look at what that man did. They did to my brand new car." And the police officer was just flabbergasted. He just looked at the man with disgust, and he whined. He said, "You young people are so materialistic. You make me sick. You're so worried about your stupid Mercedes, you didn't even notice that he took off your whole left arm." And the young man was just horrified. He finally looked down at the bloody left shoulder where his arm once was, and he said, "What happened to my Rolex?" So, you know, I had to begin our time together just to relieve the tension, because money is a tense subject, isn't it? I mean, when I saw the lectionary passage today, I thought, this is my fourth Sunday in the pulpit as your pastor, and the text is about money. I, but stewardship season isn't supposed to be until fall, and what's the deal with the parable of the rich fool in August? Because that's the title of the parable that you just read, the parable of the rich fool, and it's been used in many a stewardship sermon. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you prepared, whose will they be? And so it is with those who store up treasures from themselves, but are not rich toward God." And so now the ushers are going to come back up, and we're going to have a second collection. Or you can scan the QR code or put your check in the, you know. I'm kidding. But it is true, throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is very tough on the rich. And in this Gospel, Jesus says in Luke, this is where you get, "Woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort." Here, Jesus says, those of you with two shirts, give the one to somebody else who has none. Here, Jesus says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And biblical scholars, they all agree that Luke's gospel definitely shows that Jesus prefers the poor. Jesus talks a lot about money, but not today. That's not the message. Like it says right in the bulletin, this one is not about money. Because frankly, if we leave it about money, we're going to miss something more important. We need to look closely at the way this parable is told. Jesus tells this parable here, and he uses a lot of humor to make this story right. And I love it when Jesus uses humor. Notice how the man in the parable talks to himself. And I love the way that you read it, Peggy. I love it. "A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. And he says, 'Self, what shall I do? I have no place to store my harvest.' And he thought, 'Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And that's where I'll store my grain and goods. I said to myself then, Self, you have stored up plenty of goods for several years. Take it easy, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy yourself.'" Jesus is showing that this rich man's greed has left him so alone. He's so foolish that he's talking to himself. He's making the point that this guy's world has become so small, so self-involved, that he calls himself self. He's got nobody to call, nobody to ask. Himself and all of the grains, that's it. Yeah, so many grains, he has to build a bigger barn. And that's what makes him quite proud. But what a fool. What a fool. You think that's going to make you happy? God says, look, this very night your life is going to end, and what do you have to show for it? There's a story, I don't know it's true, but it's about the funeral of Aristotle Onassis. Apparently it was a big parade and quite the show. And as the parade was going by, somebody turned to somebody else and said, "Wow, I wonder how much he left," meaning his estate. And the person they were talking to said, "Well, he left all of it, because you can't take it with you." And this man, so alone, talking to himself, what does this rich man really have? In this case, his possessions really own him. What a fool. He doesn't have a God to pray to. Me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. And the next thing to remember with our holy text every week, every time we pick up the Bible is that context is everything. Why does Jesus tell this parable right here, right now? Well, he does it in response to the question from the man in the crowd. Jesus is out teaching to a large crowd and somebody shouts, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus, he never answers a question directly. At first he just says, "Hey, who am I to bother with this?" But Jesus knows that this man must be in a sorry state. He has a fight with it, and it's broken down the relationship so much that this man would air his dirty laundry in front of a whole crowd. Apparently, the brothers aren't even talking to each other. The brother wants Jesus to be a referee. Brothers who should love each other are fighting over money. And sadly, this isn't a problem that we've outgrown as a society. I've known families torn apart by this. Brothers, sisters, cousins that still don't speak because of how the assets were distributed after the death of a parent. The reality is that following the death of the last parent, grief can be really profound. Grief is so many layered. Even if you weren't particularly close, especially if you had a fraught relationship with the last living parent, I don't know about you, your experience, or those whom you love, but once you've lost both mother and father, when your final parent dies, there's that weird realization that you're an orphan, you know, whether you're 30 or 50 or 70. And hopefully at that time, the siblings come together and they grieve and they can support each other, but not here. In the case of the man asking the question of Jesus, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me," well, how sad. How foolish, Jesus says. And so Jesus uses his creative storytelling, as he did so often, to remind this brother, "Hey, listen, I don't know what the details are, but your brother is worth more than all the money. Your relationship is what matters, not the money." Jesus says to him, "Guard yourself against greed. Guard yourself against that selfishness. Life isn't determined by one's possessions, even if someone's very wealthy." The point of this parable isn't that wealth or possessions are bad. It's when other stuff becomes so important that our relationships, our connection to each other suffers, and our relationship to God suffers. Anything that we put between ourselves and God's children, anything that we do, that puts space between us and God, and that's when the brokenness occurs. And Jesus told this story to the brother and to anybody else in the crowd. And I've had all week to sit with this and ask my own self, what am I putting between myself and God? What riches am I storing up here on earth that are keeping me from my relationships with God, with my brothers and sisters, with my siblings? I'm still puzzling over it. I don't have a lot of material riches. I mean, I certainly do compared to so many. I know that. I know I'm a very privileged person materially. I know that. And I also know that there are ways I am rich beyond measure in relationships. And but what do I put ahead? My ego, my own false belief that I can be the helper, that I can solve people's problems, that I can do all of these things without taking a rest, without seeking advice from God, from other people, my own vanity. I'm sure, I know there are a lot of things that I put between God, my own prejudices. I still puzzle over this. I know there are places where I am broken. And as far as planning and the financial aspect goes, because money is important and where we put our assets are important, I've been told, I know it's important to plan for retirement, at least for an expensive car repair or dental emergency, new tires, root canals, those fun things adults get to think about. But how much is enough to have in the savings? And how much is too much that it keeps me from a full relationship with God? And how much worry about tomorrow or the day after or the possibility of next year keeps me from caring for the needs that my sisters and brothers have right now? I found another little parable that I've been praying over, and I'll leave us with this one today to contemplate. There was a very rich man. He died and he left his inheritance equally to his two sons. And one son had married young in life and had a large and happy family. And the other son was still a bachelor. And the night after the estate was divided, the single man sat alone in his living room. And he said, "How did my dad make such a mistake? There's my brother, and he has all those kids, and his wife, and he has all those mouths to feed, and so many to provide for. And me, it's just me, I have more than I could ever use. Why did Dad divide the estate in half? He should have given a lot more to my brother for his family." And at the very same time, across town, the other brother, when the wife and kids were asleep, he thought, "Why did Dad divide the estate equally? I'm surrounded by this loving family. I have all this joy, and my brother is alone. I have a family to take care of me, and he's going to need financial security to take care of him in his future. Why? He should have given my brother more so that he would be secure in his old age." So each man that night resolved to place the majority of his inheritance in a suitcase and take it over and hide it where the other brother would be sure to find it and use it. And so they happened to meet on their way, and they discovered what they each had intended. And they fell into each other's arms, meeting in love. And that was exactly what their dad had hoped they would do. And I believe that's what our Heavenly Father, our loving mother, wants for us. That we would put our relationships with one another, with all of creation, ahead of our money or our ego or our toys or our cars or our traditions or our watches. And then share from the abundance of our barns, which are much bigger than we might imagine. so that all of our siblings would have enough grain, so that we would all receive the sustenance and provision in the arms of God. And in just a couple of moments, we are going to recreate the sacred meal, which symbolizes and is the sacrament that reminds us of the illimitable love of God, how much our God loves us and would not allow empire, would not allow bad religion to stop that love. Indeed, death would not stop that love. And all are welcome at this table, for it is God's table. Let us celebrate the Last Supper at our communion table together. Let us sing together, "Rise in body or spirit, I come with joy," verses 1, 2, and 3.
And we do remember my siblings in Christ. We remember his life of love, his friendship, his teaching, his dying, and his rising to life again. In a moment, the elders will move among you, first with the bread. We will all be served the peace. They will come back up here. We will all take the element of the bread together. Then they will move among you again with the cup. And when all have been served, we will take and eat back together as well.
Christ's blood, the cup of compassion,
shed for a broken world. Let's take it together and back to us. God of love, we give you thanks for this meal. Send us from here to reveal your love to the world. Inspire us and give us the resolve and the courage, the compassion and the passion to do justice, extend mercy, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Amen. And may God's people say, Amen. And please let us rise together in body or spirit and sing our closing hymn, number 659, God is so good. This day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.